Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Well, it's that time again. It's the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. And today we're joined by Carl Esprey, CEO of Contango Holdings. Welcome, Carl. How are you today?
Very good, Phil. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks.
What does Christmas look like in the Carl Esprey household?
Well, I'm in Portugal for Christmas this year. So it's going to be opening gifts in the morning. Kids getting excited as usual. And then hopefully maybe driving down to the beach. It's going to be cold, but at least there'll be some restaurants on the beach. And then Christmas dinner, I'll cook at home in Portugal.
So, and what is Christmas dinner then in Portugal? Well, I mean, obviously, we know what the traditional term is.
Everyone in Portugal eats codfish, but I don't, it's not my favorite. So Christmas dinner for me will be bacalhau. Yeah, exactly. For me, it'll be probably roasted turkey and potatoes with some nice desserts. Although the desserts I'll probably buy.
I'll ask one that Kev normally asks, but he got my question in this time. So what is the best present that you've ever received at Christmas?
What is the best present I've ever received?
And even go back to your childhood, because generally as a kid, you got, you know, it meant more at Christmas, didn't it? You know, being a child, opening that great present.
Yeah, of course. So probably the best thing I ever received was a Nintendo gaming console. That's still I remember. Don't know if you're...
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, you had Nintendo, you had
the Sega. I got the Nintendo one.
Yeah.
You had that grey box with Mario Brothers.
Exactly. I still remember the song.
Yeah, I remember wasting, I think, at least 2 months of my life to try and finish that. Mario Brothers thing, and then I finally finished it, and I think I put it in a bag, put it in a cupboard, and said never again.
So probably worth something today, then.
Yeah, I don't think I have it anymore. So, what is the present that you would like to receive? We say if money is no object, but if you could have anything in the world, what would it be?
Probably a 1967 Mustang.
Not another car person.
Oh, come on. You could talk hours about cars, man.
Correct.
Shelby GT. It's got to be Eleanor, hasn't it, from Gone?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. If money's not an option.
Shelby GT350?
Yeah. Yes. Well, Eleanor, exactly, the Eleanor would be good. They make them now in the US.
They probably do an electric EV model of it.
Not
for me. It's got to have the V8. It's got to have a full straight-through exhaust system, so it sounds like you know, hell. So
exactly, like a Harley Davidson middle-aged man. That's what
like a tugboat, you know.
Where is the accent from, Carl?
South Africa.
Yeah. Whereabouts in South Africa?
Johannesburg.
So you're Johannesburg gold mining country, no?
That is, yeah. We used to have all the blasting underground when I grew up. We felt like earthquakes the whole time. So mining everywhere in that country.
Yeah. So it's in the blood.
Lots of mining and lots of Rugby World Cup.
Don't mention the Rugby World Cup. Did you beat England? I think you did.
Right, enough of Christmas. Let's talk some business, Carl. 2021 has been quite a year for you, really, in terms of acquisitions. Do you want to talk us through some of those and also what 2022 might hold?
Yes, of course. I think you're right there. We've done two acquisitions this year, one last year. These are near-term cash flow assets that we know quite well, and certainly in the coal assets where millions has been spent understanding the underlying asset, and that allows us to just rapidly advance towards production. So 2022 on the coal project, we'll see production very early on in 2022. We already are sinking the shaft. We already have yellow metal coming onto site as we speak. And obviously then, as we said in the previous press release, we'll move quickly towards producing a coke a coke and coal battery. So we'll start producing coke in 2022. On the gold asset, we got quite a surprise. I think you might recall we bought what we thought was a small, scrappy gold asset, and we were going to put it into production quite quickly. Further analysis showed that we might have something much larger than we thought, and we've had a lot of work done on it. We've even had regional gold players come to our site and confirm some of the work that we've done. So I think 2022 will give us some options on the gold asset. Either we can spend money advancing the project, or we could look to do some sort of strategic tie-up with someone who could advance the project for us. Obviously, that would mean us reducing our stake in the asset. But I mean, that's quite common in this space. Prospects for coking coal at the moment are extremely healthy. And that's largely because, as is quite widely reported, coal is a dirty word these days.
Yeah.
But what gets mixed up there really is that there's multiple types of coal and lots of uses of coal. Really three major categories. One is coal for power, thermal coal, which obviously puts carbon into the atmosphere and no one wants that anymore. But there's also coal for industrial use. Coal is a chemical and it's used to make all sorts of other chemicals. And lastly, the big category is coal for production of steel and ferroalloys within the smelting process. And in that process, at this point, there's no technology to replace coke and coal. Coke and coal is turned into coke. Coke is put in the blast furnace with iron ore in the case of steel, and that's what makes steel. And so when they shut down a coal mine, because largely coal mines around the world are a blend between coking coal and thermal, there's very few coal mines that are just pure met coal and very few coal mines that are pure thermal coal. So as people are shutting down coal mines, they're shutting down production of both coking coal and thermal coal. So they're throwing, they're throwing the good coal out with the bad coal, I guess, if you want to think of it like that. And you've seen a huge resulting spike in the price of coking coal because the steel producers still need coking coal, regardless of what the view is of thermal coal. They still need coking coal and they're getting quite desperate. So we've seen coking coal prices and coke prices rise dramatically. And that's obviously been very beneficial to us. I mean, we can't claim credit for it, obviously, but it's nice that our project is positioned well within those dynamics.
And recently you raised, $2.5 million to take that project into full production. Can you give us some idea of when that project could potentially become cash generative?
We've already commenced the construction of the project. And as we said, we raised $2.5 million. We already had £1 million. So we had £3.5 million in total. The coal mine, the construction has started now. That'll take about 3 months. The coke, and obviously then we'll be producing coke and coal, which we can sell. So that'll be cash generative within 3 or 4 months. The coke battery, we'll start off with a small modular coke battery, which will produce around 3,000 tons of coke a month. And I mean, the market dynamics for coke these days, it sells for about $700 a ton. And the margins are more than 50%. So even at $3,000 a ton, we'll be producing multiple millions of EBITDA per year, which will be used then to expand into a larger coke battery. Yeah. So what we want to do is get into production and then use the cash generation from that production and organically.
One thing about the size of this project, looking at it, is just how vast it is. I mean, huge, vast, whatever superlative you want to kind of throw at it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
tons of coal. I mean, this is a project that could literally run for centuries.
Correct. And then, Zimbabwe will. Zimbabwe said they will continue to invest in thermal coal. And at some point, thermal coal demand in Zimbabwe will require some of our coal as well. And we've left that as a blue sky scenario. We've really concentrated on the met coal on the project because obviously we don't want to be producing thermal coal unless there is a dedicated power plant to take our coal. But I'm quite confident in the next, but I mean, this isn't going to be years. This is going to be a decade. There'll be a thermal coal plant to take our coal as well. And even then we'll have centuries of coal because this is such a big coal basin.
What you're talking about is taking the raw coal out of the ground, obviously the met coal, and you're going to be changing that into coke.
That's right. We take coal out of the ground. We wash it to get into the specs that we need. So they literally stick it through a washing machine. I mean, but it's obviously a big coal with centrifuges, and it washes the coal and separates some of the dirt from the coal. We then stick that into a coke battery, which compacts coal and heats it for about 24 hours. It's actually burning very hot. Then it pushes it. I mean, the coke machine looks quite amazing, actually. I could send you a video at some point.
Yeah, please.
But that then takes the coking coal and turns it into coke, which is kind of a more spongy, has all the carbon, but it also it's hard enough to allow iron ore to sit on top of it. And then we sell that to a client who puts that into a blast furnace, puts iron ore on top of it, heats it, and the combination of the heat and the carbon will extract the iron from the iron ore.
the question that I was posing when I was reading all the RNSs and trying to get involved in what you guys were doing is the big deal here has got to be a good offtake agreement. So is this likely?
Let me put it this way. If we were selling coking coal only, then it all comes down to the offtake agreement.
Okay.
And there's lots of coke producers in Zimbabwe now from China that will buy our coking coal. But because they're basically, there's four big ones, and I mean very big. In the one case, they do 200,000 tons of coke a year, and they're expanding to 1.4 million tons of coke a year. So that's huge. I mean, that's Chinese scale. So they all manage the price of coke and coal locally to a very low level because they are the only buyers of coke and coal that goes into coke. That's why we're going to go the route of building our own coke batteries. So we aren't beholden to them. Once you have coke, the market for coke is very broad and very easy to sell. There's lots of demand up in the DRC and northern Zambia for the ferroalloys industry. There's demand in South Africa. South Africa currently imports coke from Australia. And coking coal, actually, even though South Africa exports a lot of coking coal, it imports a lot of good coking coal from Australia. And then, as I said, within Brazil and China, there's a lot of demand for coke. So with coke, getting an offtake is very easy. Even getting an offtake from one of the trading companies would be very easy. So we just need to now get to a point where we are not only stuck selling coking coal to a group of four Chinese coke producers in Zimbabwe, because then we'll have a margin, but the margin won't be what we want it to be.
Okay, I understand. So what sort of production level would you like to have in terms of coke coming out per month?
We're going to start off with a containerized, and it's not a container as in what's on a shipping, but it's these small containers of coke. We've started the pre-ordering on a containerized coke battery, which produces 36,000 tons of coke a year. That does about 3,000 tons a month, and the margins are about $300 on that. So you're looking at about almost $1 million a month of margin. A full module of a proper coke battery like the Chinese run in Zimbabwe is about $12 million. So using that, using the cash flow from that coke, we will then start the process of building a full module. And that does about 150,000 tons of coke a year. So just over 10,000 a month, plus we'll have the three. So then we'll be sitting at about 15,000 a month. And then from that, we can expand just like they've done elsewhere in Zimbabwe. The Chinese producers of coke in Zimbabwe, none of them have a coal mine. So we do have one advantage over them, which is that we're fully integrated. And we, as long as there's demand for coke, we could just expand, adding 150,000 tons of coke capacity for $12 million a ton. So there'll be a period where we're selling coke and coal only. And then as we start ramping up our coke production, you'll start to see our EBITDA margin really shoot up. And then the cash flow from that will be pumped right back into a larger coke battery, which would, I would guess, take another year after the first one. So we'll be through a continual organic expansion process.
So end of 2023, I know we're talking a long way in the distance in terms of the way people think about their investments sometimes. But end of 2023, you can see yourself with the ability then to have the $54 million per year, which would be the two plants.
Yes, we'll be either finished construction or right by the end of construction of the second coke battery.
So we've talked lots of coking coal. How are things progressing with the gold mine?
The gold mine, we are preparing for drilling. So we've done aeromagnetic work, we've done IP work, and all of that's been interpreted by our geological team. And from that, they've pulled out a series of targets that they are confident that, well, they are A, confident our targets, and B, want to drill to understand what's under the ground more. So in the next few weeks, we'll commence the drilling on site, and then we'll announce those results to the market. Post the drilling, we'll have a really good understanding of what we have. And also we'll have data that we can share with some of the strategics in the area and see what proposals we can come up with. And as you said, if the proposals aren't really attractive, then we'll continue doing things ourselves. And if they are attractive, then we'll look to see if we can execute on some of those.
And you're targeting up to sort of 2 million ounces on an NI 43-101 resource.
Yes.
Do you have any ideas of any kind of historical grades or any, widths or anything from these previous,
Yeah, the whole region, and I mean, there's obviously the larger Mali, but within the region, the grades are 2 to 3 grams a ton. I don't see any reason why we would be any different. But, if you look at Barrick's mining gold up in Lulo, I think they're doing underground gold now at 0.5 gram a ton. So 2 to 3 grams a ton is very profitable in the Mali context, because it's these huge open pit disseminated resources. Whereas the South African stuff, where you need the high grams a ton, it's because they have 3 kilometers underground chasing very thin seams. So, and just to also not to oversell it, obviously, but what the geologist said to us is that 1.8 million ounces was just on the one target on Garalo. But you recall we bought the neighboring deposit. And obviously, so I think we could, I think if we get the 1.8 million on that target in Garalo, we'll get much more than 2 million ounces, because we still have an entire deposit next door, which we've seen the extension go into. We'll commence drilling probably middle of January. So I'm guessing that the results will come in March.
Can we expect to see lots of steady news flow over the next few months?
Well, what people will see now is on our Twitter feed, lots of photos of us under construction. You know, they'll start to see real activity on the ground in Zimbabwe. Obviously, we can send photos of people drilling in Mali. I'm not so sure, but we'll do that for updates, but that's not as sexy as lots of kit arriving and holes being dug in Zimbabwe. And I think that starts to, in people's minds, crystallize the fact that there is a mine being built. As we've always said from the beginning, this is not a lifestyle company. It's been set up that way. This is one of the lowest paid executive teams in the whole of the stock market. So we need activity. We need to either move into cash flow quick, and we need appreciation on the share price, or else this has all been just, totally not worth it for management. So I think you'll see over the next few months and weeks, the starting of construction and the finishing of construction of the coal mine. Hopefully that's a good catalyst.
Carl Esprey, CEO of Contango Holdings, thank you very much and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys as well. Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Carl.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.